Hallelujah indeed. Please be seated. Some wonderful readings this morning. I hope you were listening. When was the last time you remember God calling you a grasshopper? Isaiah's vision of God sitting and looking at the world, it's just all his busyness, like little grasshoppers when we look out on a field. And if you were listening carefully to Marilyn reading about Paul, you could just see Paul writing this letter to the Corinthians who trouble him greatly. And to those under the law, I became as one of the law. Oops, parenthesis. I'm not under the law myself. Blah, blah, blah. And then he writes some more. And then to those outside the law. Oops, whoops. Wait, I'm not that way either. And he's in a hurry. He's in a hurry. And he wants to make the point that he finally makes, that we do lots of things for the sake of the gospel. Paula did such a wonderful job of putting us right there in the middle of the temple where Jesus is reading from Scripture and commenting and speaking with authority and healing that crazy guy. And, you know, it's a little daunting to an old guy like me to have a senior in seminary be such a magnificent preacher. Didn't happen so much in my day. But Mark is the real storyteller. If he hadn't been who he was, we might call him Irish. And as he writes this gospel, his Gospel of Mark, it's written in Greek in such a way that it sounds like he's almost out of breath. It sounds like a bunch of guys describing the Super Bowl, in which he keeps constantly saying, and he starts every sentence in the first part of his gospel. And right away, Jesus came and called these guys. And right away, he went and did this. And right away, he went and called some more guys. You can't believe this guy. You know, and it's so breathy. And it's so full of life. It's so full of excitement. Our King James memories have calmed all that down. But in the original text, it's there. And, boy, he wants to make a whole lot of points with us real fast early in his gospel. Last week, when he healed this crazy man, don't forget, it was on the Sabbath. And you're not supposed to do things like that on the Sabbath. And now he walks next door to Peter's house, next door in today's gospel, next door to the synagogue, and heals his mother-in-law again on the Sabbath. And not only that, there's another no-no. This woman is allowed to touch him. And we'll hear this more and more as Mark's gospel goes along. Mark's healing touch is what gives energy and healing to people. And he touches people that the law says he's not supposed to touch. Or are supposed to touch him. But as we learned from last week's gospel, Jesus is on this earth with authority. And the authority is a divine commission to come and be with us and to show us the way. So here we are in this morning's gospel inside of Peter's house. And this healing takes place. And at sundown, the whole town gathered outside the door to watch Jesus heal the sick and cast out demons. Now, you got to believe that's better than Sunday night TV, don't you? And I would give anything to know at this moment how you are hearing this story. What are you thinking? What are you picturing in your mind's eye? And I wonder if any of you are like me years ago, wondering how Jesus did these things, like heal hundreds of people. Isn't it a bit of a stretch? After all, we know a lot more about medicine today, and we have penicillin, we have MRI machines, we have doctors with years of training. isn't Mark trying a little too hard to sell us Jesus? Well, I can tell you where my doubts have led me. Because I've spent years thinking about healing, and what is sickness, and what is health. And more to the point, I've met people who have the gift of healing. And not only that, I've met people who have been healed. And now it seems very clear to me that Jesus possessed this healing as an extraordinary gift. We know he was a prophet, we know he was a king, we know he was a teacher, and we also know from these Gospels he was a capital H healer. You know, in music, I've always been fascinated with people that have perfect pitch. Do any of you know anybody that has perfect pitch? It's the darndest thing. Somebody here have it? Who has it? Anyway, good for you. Drives me crazy. And that, you know, you'd say, let me have a C sharp, and oh, there it is. There is such a thing as being tone deaf. That is not a gift. But this business of having perfect pitch is a clearly a gift, something that we're born with. And if you continue to use it and can develop this musical gift, it can be honed and sharpened through training and through discipline. And healing is very much the same. There are people who are born with this gift, and the literature abounds with stories of people whose tumors, the size of cantaloupes, were dissipated, and inoperable cancers disappear, and AIDS cured, and fevers cured, brain tumors healed, broken bones knitting in hours. A healer guy that I'm acquainted with in Chicago is in love with martial arts, and his opponent broke his collarbone one time, and 3 days later he was playing basketball. His collarbone completely knitted. I'm sure some of you are acquainted with people who have this gift, and I'm sure some of you are acquainted with people who have been healed. And my point in all of this is to say that in addition to our understanding Jesus as part of the divinity, his humanity, I think, is the point of these stories. When we call him Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, we're not using just a bumper sticker. That's a pretty good appellation. That he has a talent that many of us share. The only thing he has is talent way off the charts. He heals people in numbers. He heals people with success that the rest of us don't have. And people who have the gift of healing will tell us that they don't heal everybody that they pray for or lay hands on. It's a process that we barely understand. But as we pay more attention to this and learn more and read more, we understand that there are people who have this gift. And it can be partly measured and partly understood. Those who have the gift report that when they pray and lay hands on people, their hands get extremely warm and they feel some kind of power working through them. It's almost universal. And by the way, this can happen with people who are Christians or who are not Christians. This is a human talent that many of us have. And Mark knows darn well that there's people around who have this gift of healing. One of my colleagues in Chicago when he was first ordained in New York City, was called to the emergency room in the hospital. A little baby had a high fever, and they didn't think the child was going to live. And my friend Graham laid hands on this little baby. He said his hands felt like electric shock. And within the hour, the fever had subsided. And the next afternoon, the baby went home and joined his family as a healthy little child. As we struggle to understand how these things work, we know that there is divine power and energy at work. And we find all kinds of ways to try to marshal that energy so that we can be healers as well. I'm saying these things because my wish today is that you all find a way to hear Mark tell us about Jesus and not poo-poo these healing stories as being excessive or exaggerations. Instead, I'm like Rod Serling. Remember Rod Serling? And I invite you to consider, if you will, that Mark is telling you a true story. Something so exciting that he can hardly contain himself. Ask anyone you know who's had a remarkable, unexplainable healing, and ask them if this isn't the most exciting news one could ever experience. And if this has happened to anyone you know, you're completely aware of this excitement. I had, after the 8 o'clock service, somebody come up to me and say, "I had a healing like this. And it changed my life." Here's some even more exciting news. There are some of you right here who have this gift of healing. You know who you are. And you know your hands impart comfort, calmness, quietness, warmth, and healing. And I'll go you one better. If any of you would like to explore this phenomenon, I invite you to see me, email me, write me a letter. We'll meet as often as necessary to study this gift of yours and find ways to develop it and make it grow. For the one who has this healing talent, a whole new world opens up, a whole new world of relating to God and to people, a whole new way of being a disciple of Jesus. I promise you, I don't have this talent. I don't have perfect pitch. But I can coach. And some of you remember Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight didn't play very well when he was at Ohio State. But he became a wonderful basketball coach at Indiana, very successful. I guess that's my lot in life. So consider that you've received an invitation. Two invitations. One, an invitation to hear Mark's gospel and these healing stories and think of them as things that really happened. It will help you greatly. And the second is, you've got an invitation. God bless you in answering it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you've given us gifts. Gifts to teach, gifts to preach, gifts to interpret, gifts to heal, and gifts to listen, gifts to minister. May we find all kinds of ways to develop these gifts that make us be disciples and find new ways to love and serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.